And it's good to see you, and I appreciate you being here tonight. I encourage you to get your Bible out, make sure that what we're stating is in harmony with the Word of God. I appreciate your feedback on the sermon this morning. Again, I put the title again this evening, Who Will Be in Hell? And we've just went to the Bible and allowed the Bible to answer that very simple, important question for us. I shared 5 points with you this morning. Many religious folk will be there. Those who know not God and obey not the gospel. You know, many times we're asked questions about that. And it's a good question that folks ask about kind of hypothetical situations and so forth. It's God's jurisdiction come the judgment day. Sometimes I tell folks I'm not in the business of telling individuals if God's going to make an exception. That's His prerogative, not mine. My duty as a preacher is to tell you what the book says. Number 3, those not in the church. Those who satisfy the lust of the flesh. And then we ended with those who are not written in the book of life. I'd like to share some others with you tonight. The first one that I want you to think about comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and you recall this chapter that latter part of it is that great judgment scene, and we have this statement that is found in verse 41. Matthew 25 and in verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so who will be in hell? The Bible says that the devil and the angels, his angels, will be there. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And in the book of Jude verse 6, And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And so we need to understand that the devil and his angels will be there. But also, the unrepentant, those who fail to repent. In the book of Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Remember the context of that was a question that was asked. I know that I state that verse and use it during the invitation often. But notice the context that surrounds that. In verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Now he's asking them a question. Do you suppose that because they suffered these things that they were higher in sin, that they were sinners above, more so than others, than above all the Galileans? And then he says in verse 3, I tell you no, but except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. And remember that repenting means a change of heart or mind that results in a change of action, as the Lord spelled out for us in Luke, the 21st chapter, with a man who had 2 sons. And he said unto the one, Go work today in my vineyard. And he said, No, but afterward he repented and went. That means he changed his mind about it. It was demonstrated that he had changed his mind by his actions. And when you and I repent of sin, we change our mind about what we've been doing. And it's evident by the change of action in Acts 3 and in verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so, what if I fail to repent? What if I choose to not repent? Jesus said, you'll likewise, what's the rest of that? Perish. So who will be in hell? Those who will not and do not repent. But also in Revelation chapter 20 verse 10, as you make your study about who will be in hell, and again, I don't want to go there. I'm laboring under the assumption that every person here today does not want to go to this awful place. I don't either. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I'm sure you want to go to heaven. These are some folks that will be in hell. In Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone." We already talked about from Matthew 25 that that's who will be there. Now watch this, "where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even that, so shall there be false teachers among you, or even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow after their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." False prophets, false teachers, those that teach contrary to the Word of God will be in hell. For how long? Forever and ever. That's how long hell is, by the way. Hell is just as long, by the way, as heaven is. The word's everlasting. The word everlasting applies to both everlasting life and everlasting damnation, as well as eternal life and eternal punishment and damnation. But also, when you think about who will be in hell, look over in Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8. We're going to put this all in one point. "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Do you ever think about this list here? The fearful, the New King James Version says the cowardly. That's a strong word. I suppose none of us want to be referred to as a coward. Do you? I don't. They're going to be lost. We read about fearful people, cowardly people in Bible days, like in the book of Matthew, or the book of John rather, chapter 9, verse 22, when Jesus gave sight to a blind man and his parents were called for it. "What do you say?" "Well, this is our son. We know he was born blind," but you know what they said about Jesus? Nothing. You know why? You know why they didn't confess that who Jesus was or anything along those lines? Turn over that passage, John chapter 9, verse 22. They said verse 21, "By what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him." Well, why did they say that? Verse 22, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." A synagogue was just a meeting place that the Jewish people used, where the scriptures were read. They should be put out of the synagogue. Also, Matthew 10, verse 28 talks about that. About not confessing and fearing. Then he says the unbelieving. If we don't believe, heaven is not going to be our home. Mark 16, 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And Hebrews 11, 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God," you know the rest of that, "must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then he talks about the abominable. King James Version says, the New King James Version says, the polluted. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, of which we talked about this morning. And verse 10, Revelation chapter 21, and in verse 7, mentioned again in that passage. Murders, 1 John 3, 15. You know that it's possible to be counted as a murderer without ever going out and physically killing anyone? Look at 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 15. 1 John chapter 3 and then verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now watch him. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And he talks about whoremongers. King James Version says, New King James Version says, is sexually immoral. That's not quite as strong as whoremongers, is it? But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. And he says sorcerers. That's an interesting word and interesting to study about that, but it was individuals that used medicine and so forth. And not always in a bad way necessarily, down through history. And it actually is a word from, a Greek word is a word from which our English word pharmacy comes from. The use of chemicals and medicine. But on long negative lines, there was individuals who used types of things like that as enchantment to deceive people. Can you think about a New Testament example of someone who is guilty of that? Come with me to Acts 8. And we learn about a man who did that and ended up obeying the gospel. Acts 8, verse 9 beginning. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched, tricked, deceived the people of Samaria. Now here's a problem that often went along with that. Giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Remember when Herod stood up and made an oration before the people, and the people said, it's the voice of God. Prideful. The Bible says, worms. Adam gave up the ghost to die. To whom they all gave heed again. Verse 11, and to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Well, Revelation 21:8 says that individuals who do such will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Then he talks about idolaters. You know, many things can go under the category of idolatry. Now, often when we think about idolatry, we think about the worship of false gods, graven images, and certainly that's the case. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1 and following, talks about that. But other things can go under that list. Like when you come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. He says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And there's places of which covetousness, which is idolatry, the Bible talks about. And so there's other things of which can fall under idolatry. Then he talks about liars. You have a problem with lying? Do I have a problem with lying? If I do, I better stop it, and you better too. In Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. The book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians all talks about putting on and putting off. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, what will happen come the judgment day if I've got a problem with lying? I'll have my part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. But also, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, of which was read this morning and tonight in our scripture reading, those on the broad way. Notice again, Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate. I know some versions may say difficult. Straight, it means a path that is not always easy, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, as we talked about this morning, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, how many's on that broad way that leads to destruction? many. By contrast, how many is on the narrow way? Few there be that find it. One more point. 11 points as to who is going to be in hell, and every one of them straight from the Bible. The backslider. Mentioned this morning about individuals believing once saved, always saved. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, notice what the Bible says. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. They've escaped it. The pollutions that are in the world, they're again overcome by them. Notice what he says. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Well, how? For it had been better for them not to have known the right way or the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I mentioned to you a moment ago about Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8. After he had seen that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, the Bible says that he offered them money, saying, give me also this ability, this power, and on whomsoever I lay my hands they can receive the Holy Spirit. Remember what Peter stated to him? Thy money perish with thee. Now folks, if anyone ever thought that a Christian cannot sin so as to perish, there's an example that shows you that they can. He'd heard the gospel. He had obeyed it. Turned from it. He'd escaped the pollutions that are in the world. And then he sinned. Repent of this thy wickedness, Peter went on to say. And pray to God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Suppose he didn't repent. Suppose he didn't turn. Suppose he didn't pray to God for forgiveness. And again, he's already a Christian. It'd been a right of a Christian to be able to do that, 1 John chapter 1. But suppose he did do that. Perish. Goes hand in hand with what the Lord said in Luke 13. Suppose you're in this audience tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. I asked you a very important question this morning. Have you considered your condition before the Lord? Have you considered your eternal company should you be lost? I just gave you 11 categories and folks that will be in hell. I don't want to spend an eternity with people described like that, do you? You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Christ, Mark 16:16, repenting of your sins, Acts 17:30 and 31, confessing your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God, Acts 8:37, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and then verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You want to come home, be restored. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right.